Dr. Brian Halverson is one of the UK's leading holistic dentists. He is the author of Great Teeth for Life and lectures widely to the public and to health practitioners. Brian is passionate about providing preventative information to guide us through all the stages of our lifetime. To find out more about Brian, go to www.brianhalverson.com. And now here is Dr. Brian Halverson.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way.
Hi, Brian here, the integrated dentist for UKHealthRadio.com. It gives me great pleasure to actually introduce a very good friend of mine, and he's put up with me as being his dentist for the best part of 30 years, Phil Mikans. He has got a fantastic story to tell, and he's involved in the latest technology when it comes to anti-aging. Phil, when did it all begin?
Well, good day to you, Brian, and it's a great pleasure to be on your radio show today. I can tell you that, just quickly for the audience, you're absolutely right. It was about 30 years ago that you and I met, when I was very interested in getting the amalgams removed from my mouth. And you were one of the very few holistic dentists who understood the importance of that and did the procedures correctly. And, of course, you and I spoke about all the different things and the different substances that can then that can chelate different metals, and we kind of hit it off from there, didn't we?
Absolutely. There were areas and contacts that you knew that really I discovered a completely new world of really the research and the proactive treatments that we can do to actually detox ourselves.
Mm. Well, thank you, Brian. I suppose, again, for your audience, I'll give them the dime tour of who I am. And basically, my life started when I was a teenager. I don't really know why, except perhaps I was aging faster than my peers. And I just started asking myself, you know, what is aging? Why do we age? Why do different creatures have different lifespans? And why do human beings have very different lifespans, longevity? And why does there seem to be an upper limit of about 120 years? And I don't know whether that's healthy thinking or not, but that got me started. And my career went in that direction. So, you know, I took nutrition and I took pharmacy and I took biochemistry over the years. And eventually I formed with my brother a company called International Anti-Aging Systems, where we would try and look around the world at the different protocols and products that are available, because there isn't, if you look internationally, there is an enormous choice.
The interesting thing was is that whereas the trend is to nearly always look at natural products, and there obviously are huge advantages in that, you've actually looked at the science behind what I would call pharmacologically graded products.
Yes, that's true. You know, because I suppose that's the pharmacist coming out in me. But we do tend to lean towards natural products in most cases. The correct terminology I like to use there is bioidentical, which means natural to and human and in the body. Because really, natural can be anything from nature, and as we know, nature is full of poisons, which wouldn't be very good in our own body. So bioidentical is the term that most of the anti-aging physicians like to use today. And the former word for that, which was dubbed by the great late Linus Pauling, was orthomolecular. But it's a nice big fancy term. But what it means is it's natural to and in the body. But I don't, my position is, if it works, does it matter where it comes from? And although I would say that there are many bad drugs on the market today, many bad medicines, that doesn't mean to say they all are. So I look for the good in everything.
No, that's a very good attitude to take. I think that And I know that you look at it from a very scientific point of view, and it's like everything in life. You do have
Thank
to
you.
Weigh, we all have to weigh up the risk you benefit.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it is very, very important to us to find the research. We've never, ever been an organization that has said, oh, we've got this, what can we say about it? We've always looked to the literature and from the literature then said, well, wow, this is very, very interesting. How do we get hold of this? And it's been a great privilege for me over the years, including yourself, Brian, because we collaborated a little bit on your book, Great Teeth for Life. And I've worked with so many leading doctors and, dare I say, mavericks over the years. And I find it a great privilege that some of the people I work with today, in former years, I saw them as a demigod, you know, always looking out for their papers and their different things. And now I've got their mobile numbers on my phone. So I feel very privileged in that respect.
And I think some of them even call you a friend.
Well, you know what they say, keep your enemies closer.
Lovely. I mean, the thing is that since we had our initial discussions, which I found was exciting because you opened up a whole world of research, but what I was very much you taught me was, don't look at the headline research, because just like the expression fake news, there's also, I would say, fake research. And you seem to, and your team have the ability to be able to see through that and take on products, which in fact, you really have done the genuine, unbiased research.
Well, thank you again, Brian. And there is a danger. One wants to look at the cutting edge, as the expression goes, but one doesn't want to be so far on the cutting edge that one cuts oneself, if you see what I mean, because very often when a report comes out about something and you think this is very interesting, the breakthrough, you really want to wait for another one, especially an independent one or a separate one. And you also have to look at who's sponsored, who's paid for the research, because it's no good, I don't know, let's say taking a statin and then finding out that, of course, the people who are presenting the research are the very people who are selling the product. So it's always nice to have backup independent research, even if it means waiting a year or two for it to come out. But I do get very frustrated. I mean, when one watches the news of an evening and you're sitting there and suddenly somebody will say, oh, there's a new breakthrough in cancer, for example, and they say something about it. And it gets you excited. And then, of course, the report ends with, but we, of course, will have to wait for further research. And it could be many, many, many years away. And, of course, it's always very disappointing, which is a bit like the old joke about the agoraphobic. The news comes on and says, fantastic news today. They've now cured agoraphobia. The problem is the cure's round the corner. So, so one does get very frustrated. But as soon as one can be confident that there appears to be plenty of research. And you have to bear in mind that some countries will approve substances long before other countries. So you might look, for example, to Russia and say, well, this is a very, very new product in England, but it might have been available in some other country for decades. It can happen. And then, of course, you've got a lot of history to look at in terms of its efficacy and its side effects and its contraindications. And that can give you a lot more confidence. Because what is something that's new? Something's new when you first hear about it. But you're probably not the first person on the planet to hear about it.
And is it not true that some of the major breakthroughs occur when in fact often totally disassociated, two or three hospitals or researchers find that they get the same results using the same products, but they've not actually collaborated?
Exactly, yeah. We, you know, in an age of information where we're meant to be sharing everything and access to information is so much easier than it was. I mean, when we started the organization, International Aging Systems, that was in 1991. And that was pre-internet, of course, you know, and one spent a lot of time going down the libraries to try and find information. And about, 1996, next started to come to some prominence. And of course, today, everything's changed. You get on your iPhone and you look anything up you want to look up. It's incredible. But it's also like everybody's shouting in the room. And that can also be can lead to a lot of confusion. And you have to try and listen very carefully for the right messages and not all the wrong messages. So as it's today described as fake news.
Yes, I mean, the example that I gave, and ironically, when I was researching my book, Great Tea for Life, was looking up the value of vitamin C. Mm-hmm. And I had to Google sort of 7 or 8 pages before I actually got down to the fact a certain professor, double Nobel Prize winner, Linus Pauling, to look at the benefits of vitamin C. Mm. So again, it seemed to have been scrubbed off the radar, and unless you really knew what to look for, you would actually get, in again, fake news.
And I think we have to remember something else there, Brian, as well. There's an old adage, which is science reinvents itself every 25 years. And again, even in this information age, I think that's very true. And just because a piece of research might be old, like you might consider Linus Pauling's research from the 1970s on vitamin C to be old, it doesn't mean to say it's invalid. And sometimes people, researchers, they don't want to look at old, what they consider old research. They always want to give references that are in the last few years. And I think sometimes that can be a big mistake. And I'll give you one quick example of that. Dr. Jonathan Wright, who's one of America's great doctors and has written many books, and I'm sure is known to some of the audience that are listening today, he has a team of people. He's based near Seattle in Washington State, and he has a team of people that do nothing but go down the libraries and dig out the old medical information. Well, a few years ago, he dug out some information from the late 30s, early 40s, which showed that a hormone called aldosterone, which is produced in the adrenal glands, seems to have a direct relation to our hearing. And what he discovered from some old studies was patients who were older patients who were struggling with their hearing that was not related to any physical damage within the ear benefited greatly when they were given aldosterone. So he decided to run a trial in his own clinic. And sure enough, he was able to prove that folks who were having problems with their hearing, that again, wasn't related to any damage to the ear, all had improvements to their hearing when they took some aldosterone. And he was able to even show it, not just, you know, taking a capsule, but actually even introducing it as an eardrop. So can you imagine waking up in the morning and rather than putting a hearing aid in, you put 2 drops of oil in your ear and your hearing's great all day? Those are the kinds of developments that I get very excited about, because to my way of that's a bioidentical molecule as well, natural to and in the body. So that's the sort of thing to me that very much should be part of what we call anti-aging medicine, which I can elucidate on if people don't understand what that term is or perhaps think it's a nasty thing.
Yes, I mean, I think the big thing which I've noted with the way you've actually set up your business is the fact that you actually have various divisions, because much of your products you actually supply to medical doctors. And this is because I know it's different in different countries, but because some products do need to have medical supervision to make sure that dose is right, that side effects can be looked at. But there are other parts where you can sell freely, which is very much like the present in this country, the UK, supplements, where in effect you can just put the right directions on. But I think
That's true. Thank you. Thank you, Brian. I mean, today, International Anti-Aging Systems has 3 depots around the world. We have one in the UK, we have one in the United States, and we have another in Hong Kong. And we're able, from those 3 depots, because obviously they're on different continents as well, and different jurisdictions, and that makes an enormous difference into what you can offer from each jurisdiction. So we're able to help doctors and patients from either, depending on what they're looking for, whether they're looking for hormones or whether they're looking for supplements or peptides, one of our depots can help, basically. and that's how we've built our business, and we've helped many, many thousands of people all over the world.
Yes.
Obtain not just different substances, but different strengths or different formats. So, for example, somebody might say to us, well, I can get this in a capsule, but I want it in a cream. Can you help? Or, you know, and so we can help on a number of different levels.
That's right.
That's right.
Just changing to, what should we say, an area that's closer, where we collaborated on the book. You actually put a bit in about taking supplements. And among the what I'll call the purists in the nutrition world, many of the great, and I will say great, nutritionalists still often advocate having just pure whole foods as opposed to using supplements. Can you put your view together about where you feel there is a benefit or not a benefit of having supplements as well as healthy eating?
That's a very good question. Thank you, Brian. And I think there's three parts to answer it. The first part takes me back a slight step to what you said earlier, and that is that I would always suggest that if you're really serious about your health, get a health professional involved. Now, I'm not suggesting for a moment that that has to be a general practitioner, particularly as most GPs are going to offer you nothing probably than pharmaceutical drugs. But what's wrong with a nutritionist? What's wrong with a naturopath? What's wrong with acupuncture? If something works, then one should try it. And one can do so much in self-diagnosis. But when you've got a professional that can do a blood check or look at you and make assessment, going to help you greatly get your regimen correct, whether that's eating the right food or taking the right supplements or using the right hormones. And in the long run, that means you're going to save a lot of time and you're going to save a lot of money. Otherwise, approaching health it could be considered like a shotgun when you could be target shooting. And clearly, the human being, we are a machine. We're an incredibly complicated machine, but we are nonetheless a machine. And so if you know where your weak points are, it clearly makes sense to address them first. So that, I hope, is a little bit of an answer to your question, the first part. The second part is I've always considered optimal health to be like a pyramid. And if we imagine a pyramid, what's at the base of a pyramid has to be the vast amount, the largest stones, the most stones. And the bottom of the pyramid in anybody's health is the right diet and the right lifestyle. Everything starts there. You know, you cannot expect to eradicate your cancer or get rid of your chronic fatigue or anything else without starting with the basics. I think the good news about the basics is they're very simple rules. They're not overly complicated. It's eating fresh food, organic, of course. I would advocate GM-free. Changing your food groups, and I'd like to elaborate on that a little bit later, so that you're not eating all the same, because it's very nice to eat strawberries every day, but you probably shouldn't. So that's, and getting some exercise. The great thing about exercise is, again, it doesn't have to be running a marathon or anything like that. It's just doing a little often, walking the dog, climbing the stairs, going swimming, etc. And, of course, environment. One cannot expose oneself for long periods to a lot of stress or, of course, to bad pollution if you work in a dirty environment. Your body can only handle those situations for short periods. So they are the foundation of the optimal health pyramid. But as you move up the optimal health pyramid, what's wrong with considering some supplements? Why do we insure our houses? Why do we insure our cars? Not because we expect them to burst into flames every 5 minutes. Well, but in case they do. So if you can't be 100% certain that you are getting enough vitamins, for example, from your food, what is the harm in taking a regular dose of, say, vitamin C? Okay, so vitamins can play, and minerals can play, and other elements can play, oils like omegas, of course. And as we go further up the pyramid, and we get into the more specialized territory, where I have to say my company is more involved, we can start to look at hormones, for example. Because as we, if we actually want to treat aging, if we actually want to, when we're 60, feel more like we're 30, it's going to be very difficult to do it with just the basics. So anti-aging, the key word here is medicine, which is the ultimate preventative and regenerative medicine, if you prefer those terms, is trying to give back to the body what it loses through the years. So one of the big influences in most of the anti-aging clinics today is to use bioidentical hormones. And they can make an enormous difference to the individual. But it's still important to have the basics underneath. They're going to work synergistically so much better. You can't really have a crappy lifestyle and a crappy diet and take some hormones and expect to do everything for you. And of course, when you get to the very top of the pyramid, you get into the very specialist stuff, where people may have heard of things like telomeres or stem cells or peptide bioregulators, which really are the cutting edge of what we have available today. And there are some very, very exciting technologies there, which I would like to say a little bit about later on. So health to me is like a pyramid. It is very important that one has a clean lifestyle, but you can add to it in the same ways that we look after our vehicles. And somebody said this to me recently, and I thought it was very good. If I'm 55, so, you know, I look at myself, and we all still think we're 25, of course, but we look at ourselves, it's a bit like having a classic sports car. It's still possible to have great performance, it just needs some more maintenance.
Good analogy, yes.
Thank you.
Phil, on that front, I mean, as you know, you've over now at least 10 years have asked me to regularly speak at your London International Anti-Aging Conference. Mm-hmm. And I've been very honoured to be able to contribute. However,
always a pleasure to have you there, Brian.
Thank you. But what I was really going to bring is the point about you're talking about the tip of the pyramid. Mm-hmm. And what I've noticed and really have been in awe of is the knowledge and the, what should we say, the esteem of the speakers you have who do speak on these literally cutting edge subjects. I mean, mm-hmm. as you know, and most of the listeners don't know, some of these people are nominated Nobel Prize laureates. They often run complete sort of health systems, and yet they turn up because they have got a format and a position to be able to explain to people that there are mm-hmm. huge advances. So when you're talking about the tip, I think that, you know, the conference is a great way. And I know it's not just in the UK, but could you just say something about how you got involved in the International Anti-Aging Conferences?
Yes, certainly I would do, Brian, be happy to. I mean, first of all, what happened was I lived in America for a number of years. And, of course, it's really the Americans that are driving the anti-aging thing. And the biggest organization over there is called A4M, which is the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine. And they've had regular conferences, mainly in Las Vegas, but they do go to other parts of America, since about 1993 or so, if I remember rightly. And I've attended a lot of them. And today, they have their big show in December every year, mid-December. And they get about 5,000 physicians come from across America and, of course, from across the world. So people are quite shocked when they hear about such large numbers of people. And also, they're great places to go. And I'll elaborate on some others closer to home in a moment. They're great places to go because sometimes in life, whichever direction you're thinking in, if your friends and family aren't thinking in the same direction, you start to wonder if you're the only one. And of course, what's great to go to meetings like this is to meet hundreds, sometimes thousands of people, professional people too, who are like-minded. And I get very tired when I listen to, say, the BBC and they want to poo-poo something and they wheel out some old professor who says, well, of course, we just don't know, and another 20 years maybe we will, but we can't take any risks right now and so on. And you think that was the mainstream orthodox thinking. But suddenly you meet other professors and other doctors at the very top of their game who don't think like that at all. and want to get things done. So it's great to go to meetings to network, and of course also to learn and to share. Now, in 2000, we, International Anti-Aging System, were very despondent because all these shows were taking place in America, but nothing had actually taken place in Europe. So we actually organized Europe's first anti-aging meeting for professionals, which was actually in Monaco, and that was in the year 2000. And we ran a few of those, although running conferences is not our business. So later on, when the movement started across Europe, we left it to others, but we get involved by, you know, assisting where we can, recommending where we can. And of course, the London Anti-Aging Conference, which is run by the lovely Maria Summers, is the leading conference in the UK. And if anyone's interested, you can go to the website and put in antiagingconference.com. That's all one word. And of course, aging is spelt with an E in the British way. Otherwise, I'd have to say anti-agging, wouldn't I? well, that's the American way. Antiagingconference.com. And you'll see it's in mid-October. So anyone can go there and have a look at the speakers. They come from all over the world and the topics that they'll be talking about. But of course, the focus is about preventative and regenerative medicine. That's what it's really about.
Yes, Phil. I mean, two products which I found were almost, I was riveted to my seat, was one, the cream that could dissolve away surface cancers.
Yes. Such.
Now, could you just give a brief talk about that, where it was discovered, and sure. And what advice would you give to people in this country?
Yes. I've had, on this particular subject, I've had dermatologists walk out of the room, even when they're presented with all the materials and references, saying, it can't be true, because if it was, the NHS would be using it. Now, that would lead us into a different story about the pressures of in the medical business and how things get approved and all the costs, which goes against natural substances. So the substance we're talking about that has the chemical in it is called psilocybin, and psilocybin is an extract from grass. Okay, and it has a very, very interesting property. The man who discovered this was a biochemist by the name of Bill Edward Cham. And he is a gentleman who lives on the island of Vanuatu in the South Pacific. And when he was a very young man, he walking around Vanuatu, he noticed that cows and horses like to rub themselves against a plant there that they call the devil's apple. But it's basically related to the aubergine. And he asked the farmers, why do they do it? And the farmers said, well, we don't know, but they get these lesions on their skin, and they seem to know that this helps. And he said, well, does it? And he said, yes, it does seem to clear up. So as he became a biochemist, he made it his life's mission to find out why. And over 20 years of research, which has been very heavily published, particularly in journals in Australia, and some in Europe too, and some in America, but principally in the Australasia region, you know, very serious journals. I mean, not backstreet journals, not by any way, shape, or form. He's shown that the psilocybins in the plant literally eats away the cancer cells. And it's very hard for people to believe that when applied as a cream, and this, of course, only works for skin cancer because it needs to operate directly on the cancer cell. And the skin cancer presents this cancer cell there on the surface. So unfortunately, this stuff doesn't work for any internal tumors. They have 80,000 patient cases documented, and they have a 100% success rate. It is incredible. In a nutshell, I'll tell you how it works. Cancer cells are surrounded by a sugar coating of ribose, which is not present on a normal, healthy cell. It may be a way of hiding from the immune system, because you know the immune system is looking for non-self cells, and it doesn't. Why doesn't it kill cancer cells? Because it can't recognize them. So it could be that this ribose coating is part of the protection that the cancer cell gives itself. Well, the psilocybin literally just eats away this sugar coating. which isn't present on a healthy cell. So it doesn't affect a healthy cell at all. So if you don't have any skin cancer and you put the cream on your face, for example, it does absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. But if you have a cancer there, it will start with some redness as it starts to eat away. And basically, once it's eaten away that coating, the immune system takes over and induces what we call apoptosis. In other words, normal cell death. Because that's all cancer cells are. They're not some alien molecule. They're our own cells that have gone awry and won't stop growing. So that's the principle of it. It's a very simple principle. It works very well. And of course, the next obvious question is, why doesn't everybody know about it? Why isn't it available everywhere? And of course, that would take us down a horrible road about patents and money and regulations and conflict of interests and all the rest of it. But that's one of the examples, one of the very good examples of how that are all around the world the most incredible breakthroughs and knowledge that the vast majority of people still don't know about.
And what is the name of the product?
Well, there are two names for the product. The one that was the original, I suppose, which was Bill Edward Cham's, is called Beck. That's after his name, Bill Edward Cham, BEC. Beck 5, 5 representing the percentage. And there's another one coming on the market, which is called Sol Answer, S-O-L Answer. So they're the two products. They're both creams. You can find them on the internet. You can find them at International Anti-Aging Systems. And they do. They're very, very remarkable, substances.
Phil, you mentioned again, you mentioned earlier about peptides. Mm-hmm. And as I am still a practicing dentist, mm-hmm. I've been looking at your peptide mouthwash.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm not 100% clear of how peptides work.
Okay.
And secondly, once you can explain how they work, what would be the benefit of taking such a mouthwash to oral health?
Okay, yeah, fine. The peptide story is one that took me nearly 2 years for me to really compute and understand it. And it would be quite a long story to tell it from start to finish, but I'll tell it in the shortest possible way. First of all, the real breakthroughs here have been the Russian research from the Institute of Biogerontology in St. Petersburg, an extremely serious institute, an organization, led by Professor Vladimir Kabinsev, who until a few years ago was the leading gerontologist for Europe, not for Russia, for Europe. So he's a very, very high-level professional man. And he, when he was a younger man, he was, believe it or not, a medical colonel in the KGB when it was the Soviet Union. And he was approached one morning and by the Kremlin, and they said, Americans have new weapons, battlefield weapons that can make our troops blind, and we have other issues with our troops who are in nuclear submarines or in silos where they're getting hurt, they're getting damaged, they're aging fast. What can you find out? And he had the most amazing resources at his disposal. He said to me personally, he said, Phil, I don't think we could do this today. But when under the Soviet Union, being in the KGB and having direct instructions from the Kremlin, he could pick the phone up and ask for anything. And in a nutshell, what they discovered is incredible. What they discovered is that short-chain peptides that are in foods, in different foods, are gene switches. Okay. Now, when I was doing my nutritional course at South London College, which today is called, in 1981, which today is called Thames University, sounds a lot nicer, the professor put a slide up on the old overhead projector, and he said, this is typically what you find in food, is a percentage. You find X percentage of vitamins, X percentage of minerals, X percentage of fats. But most of it was fiber. I seem to remember about 60% was fiber. And I remember thinking to myself on that very day, well, either fiber is very important, and overlook, because there's so much of it in food. Nature doesn't waste anything. Or they've missed something. And the realization I had a few years ago when I first heard Professor Cavinson lecture was, well, yeah, we have missed something. Because the Russians have discovered that these short-chain in different foods, and that's why we have to eat a plethora of different foods, because you can't find them all in one food group, are gene switches. They're going in there and instructing our genes what to do. And gene switches tell stem cells where to go and repair themselves. So it's absolutely fundamental stuff, and it explains epigenetics in a moment, in a heartbeat. Now, the Russians so far have identified 21 short-chain peptides. So, and I'm sure there's many more to discover. But already, they are doing the most amazing, incredible work. And it hasn't been overlooked by other countries. And the one, perhaps, that has had the most shockingly amazing result are the American military. So if anyone goes to Google and wants to type in pixie dust peptide, yes, a stupid name, P-I-X-I-E, pixie dust peptide, just like the Disneyland fairy, they'll find a BBC, short BBC documentary that, believe it or not, was made in 2008, nearly 10 years ago. And when you watch it, you will be flabbergasted, because what you will see is that by using the peptides that the American military are using, they are regrowing limbs. Yes.
Phenomenal.
Regrowing fingers. They've gone public with a man called Corporal Hernandez, who regrew his thigh. He lost 70% of his thigh when he dropped his grenade in Afghanistan. And it took 6 months by applying the peptides. He regrew his thigh. And I have it on good authority that they've regrown a hand.
Amazing.
The fingers that you will see in that BBC documentary, you'll meet the man that went public with it. Not only do you not know, when he holds his hand up, you don't know which finger he lost, because they all look perfect. You don't know. It's not a case of they found the finger, they stitched it on. They didn't find the finger disappeared. They regrew the finger, the nail, the nerves, the skin, so perfectly that you wouldn't know which finger he'd lost. And guess how long it took to regrow the finger?
Go on, Phil, tell me.
4 weeks.
Oh, amazing.
It's incredible. That's incredible. But I use that as an example of the power of peptides. Just quickly, what is a peptide?
Please.
In the primeval swamp, if we go back to the beginning of time, and that primeval swamp, which is trying as hard as hell to make life exist, because I'm sure nature wants life to exist, and of course we're not alone in the universe, it would be a ridiculous statement to make, is that when two amino acids conjoin, two amino acids, they become what's the first peptide, which is a dipeptide, known as a dipeptide. And that is the moment of information. That is the moment that you can communicate chemically. So they're beginning. And when you add more amino acids to the dipeptide, they become other peptides. Now, when I use the expression short-chain peptides, I'm talking about peptides that have 6 or less amino acids in. But once you keep adding and adding and adding, they become proteins and they become hormones. So, for example, human growth hormone is an amino acid chain of 191 amino acids. So amino acids are the building blocks of peptides, which are the building blocks of protein, which are the building blocks of hormones. So that's why they're so fundamental.
Gosh.
And I should answer you about your mouthwash, because there is now a mouthwash which is a peptide mouthwash, which is called Oral Tide. And this is technology that is coming out of Japan. And it uses two peptides, which have been called DPR and AGDP. And that stands for dental bond peptide and anti-gingival degenerative peptide. I have to remember a lot of stupid terms in my business. But what it does, it does a number of benefits. We know that, for example, it promotes the growth of shrinking gums. We know that it speeds the healing of the mouth and tongue. It prevents oral infections. And excitingly, It helps with enamel remineralization, reduces bacterial growth and etching, and fills in slots in damaged enamel. Now, we're not very far away, because there have been two studies now, one in Japan, one in the United States, that have shown that when some of these peptides into a cavity, it regrows the tooth. So that technology is not, as far as we know, yet commercially available, but I think it will be in the not too distant future. But it is exciting to have the oral Tide peptide toothpaste, sorry, not toothpaste, mouthwash, which I believe is a big step forward. And I'm hoping that we'll be able to put some information on the brianhalvorson.com website soon, if anyone's interested in looking into that.
That'd be great, Phil. Of course, my comment on that is, just like you talked about the pyramid of health, of course, they will not work if, in fact, you have a poor diet, your immune system is poor, you're having far too many sugars, too many acids. Although it may help, it's got to work in conjunction with a generally taking a much healthier view of how we keep our mouths.
I would say one thing, Brian, where it can be useful to people, and this is a classic, for example, when people want to lose weight. People who want to lose weight, they have the bad lifestyle, they have the bad exercise regime, etc., and they begin to change. And obviously that change isn't enough, but they get bored. They lose interest, you know, they don't see the weight falling off fast enough, etc. And that's sometimes where supplements can come in, and they improve the results more quickly. And often that can also be useful to make people stay on the program to get the absolute best results. So I absolutely concur with you that it is fundamental that in terms of dental health, you've got to have the right diet, etc. And there are many other useful things like the coconut oil pulling, etc., which I know you're very prominent advocate of. But of course, by adding these other things, they can make improvements more quickly. And hopefully that makes people think, well, this is really working for me. I'm going to carry on.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right, Phil. I think that the holistic approach has to be taken on board, because, as you rightly say, the willpower that's required to fundamentally change our diet and lifestyle is, as we know, and we're only what I would call, like the song says, human, we find it's very difficult to adhere to all the sort of benefits. And ironically, as I know that you're extremely knowledgeable in this area, that the more you know, often the more difficult it is to, keep up to the levels that we would like to be.
That's true. And there are so many things that fit in different areas. It's sometimes hard to try and choose which one you think is the best, you know. But it's a bit like, sometimes I've stopped worrying about that a little bit too much. And somebody once said, if you have a Mercedes-Benz and you have a Bentley, they're both excellent cars. The Bentley is a lot more money than Mercedes, and you might consider it slightly better. But sometimes that doesn't matter when you already have a very good vehicle anyway. So, and I think that is a lot of choices available in health today. But providing you have a good one and it works well for you, and it doesn't cost too much and it's convenient to you, then stick with it. You know, there's always something that can be better, and I suppose if your wallet can run to it, that doesn't matter. But I like to find the sort of upper end products that are still in the very good bracket, as it were. But there's some great choices out there today, some great choices.
Phil, if I may say, getting back to the mouthwash, yes. Often this is a question that I'm often asked by everybody, especially my patients. Can you tell me, in the peptide mouthwash, are there any negatives, you know, meaning what's actually the other ingredients? Because people obviously are concerned that that these days, because people are getting more sensitive to harsh chemicals, they're often maybe immunocompromised, diabetes, these sort of things. Is there anything that we could say is contradictory or you were concerned about this particular mouthwash?
The short answer is no. Of course, there are other ingredients in the product because, of course, they have to be carriers. We've tried to avoid very carefully some of the obvious problem products. It's difficult to say from individual to individual, depending on what they might be concerned about. To be honest with you, the primary ingredient in the product is water. So I don't think anyone's going to get too excited about that. But there is some preservatives like potassium sorbate. There's a little glycerin to give it some thickness. There is a sweetener in it, which I think is, if I remember rightly, is sorbic acid. And I think there's some calcium and some things like that. Obviously, everything is all as correct as it should be, but we are very conscious. We avoid things like fluoride. We avoid things like titanium dioxide and polysorbate 80 and other things like that, because they are getting a lot of bad press and we don't want to be involved with those things. And if you want to have those things, well, you can find them separately in many, many other products anyway. So that's really what you want.
Yeah, thanks for clearing that up, Phil, because I know that people can obviously be very concerned. As I say, I'd like to feel that this could be the answer the future of products that can actually have as little side effects but can have the benefit. As I say, I think risk benefit always has to be taken very, very seriously, no matter what. And I think that thank you for explaining that.
Well, thank you, Brian. And I think when it comes to dental care, most of us brush our teeth every day. Most of us use a mouthwash every day. So it's exciting that we're not asking people to do anything new, anything different, add anything on. We're simply saying, think about changing what you do. Change the product, don't change the protocol.
Now, that's very sound advice. And as I say, if we're looking at something which has got less negative effects, then even if we are living in an environment where our diet and lifestyle is less than perfect, if we're getting some benefit over above possible sort of, what should we say, negativity, it's a bit like, I suppose why I'm saying this is because often fluoride is lauded as a way of preventing tooth decay to the point that you almost turn it around 180 degrees, that the lack of fluoride causes tooth decay. And I think this is where I think education is required. But saying that, I have high-risk patients who do have a very poor diet, possibly lots of sugars. And then I would say, well, if we're talking risk-benefit, then possibly using a conventional toothpaste may be the answer. So we're back to this individuality. Yes,
but that's true. But I think I'd also add, Brian, if you don't mind, please. I'd also add that, as the old expression says, the devil is in the detail. And the earth, of course, contains natural fluoride. But what is used in the majority of toothpaste today, as an example, is sodium fluoride, which is a byproduct of aluminium smelting. These two things are very similar, but they are not the same. And so, there's fluoride and there's fluoride.
Yes. Phil, if I could just ask your expert opinion. Recently, there's been a series on one of the American broadcasts, which I think is by Ty Bollinger, but there's been seven programs looking at cannabis products and it's their advantage. Now, I do know that you have looked at this very carefully. Could you give your opinion? And is there a possibility that products like this may be available in the UK?
Gosh, that's a difficult question to answer, the last one, the last part of it. Obviously, I would suggest to you, if you ever want to get Phil Hawes on the program, he knows a great deal on the subject. And another great gentleman to ask would be Dr. Rob Verkerk from the Alliance of Natural Health. He'd have a very good position on the legalities. If you want to ask me my personal opinion, say, should it be freely available, my short answer is yes, without doubt. Because there is so much evidence now that the THC, the oil that's within the cannabis, has significant medical benefits. I guess the problem is that people are kind of bamboozled with, well, people want to take this to get some illicit high. Personally, I don't see what the problem is in that. I mean, people do that with alcohol or tobacco or sex or any goodness knows what. So I don't see, that's part of the human condition. The thing about the cannabis, the marijuana, that makes it quite interesting is that if you actually smoke it or if you actually cook it, you actually destroy the medical properties. Uh-huh. It would appear. So you're not, and that's the only way to get the high. So if you had a cannabis plant in front of you and you decided to eat it, which I am sure many of our ancestors did, because our body is full, and I do mean full, of cannabinoid receptors. So what on earth are they doing there? So we must have been eating this plant on a regular basis. Or if you juice it, although I'm given to understand if you try and juice the stalks, they will destroy your machine because they're so tough. But nonetheless, if you juice it, or if you eat it, or if you're able to get the extract, the oil, you do not get a high because it has not been cooked. But you get the full benefit of the CBT, which is the part that appears to play the very prominent role in helping people with cancer, helping people with dementias, helping people with all sorts of things. And I think the evidence now is overwhelming. There's a very, very sad case going on right now in Germany where a mother who had a, I think, an 11-year-old son, if I remember right, certainly a teenager, who had leukemia, the son had leukemia, and she took him to Holland, where, of course, we all know cannabis is legal. And he stayed there for some time receiving the oil, and he had fantastic results in the leukemia. And she obviously couldn't stay in the Netherlands for as long as she could like, so she took the risk. So she went home to Germany with her son, and of course she took the oil back with her. And by crossing into the German border, of course, she now was breaking the law. But she continued to apply the oil to her son at home, as I suppose any mother would, and she cured him of leukemia. Now, I think the period was about 2 years, so he was about a 13-year-old at this time, which was probably last year. And she decided it was such a wonderful thing, she needed to share this with the world. So she went to her local press and everything and told them the story. She's now been arrested, and she's facing 2 years in jail. So make of that what you will, but, and I'm sure any parent would take that risk for their child, but can you imagine, she found a way to cure her boy of leukemia where everyone else had given up, and now she faces jail for it. It is quite ludicrous.
Well, Phil, thank you for that. But listeners, can you see how... I can ask Phil any question, and he has such a depth of knowledge, and we can talk about everything.
Now, well, that's because I'm a jack of all trades and a master of none, Brian.
Well, I think it's more like the fact that you're a master of most things and and less of a tradesman. Phil, it's been absolutely fantastic. And I will say to my listeners that we will bring Phil back because, A, we might be looking at a few months' time a toothpaste that could be very relevant.
Yes.
Secondly, we can update you on the International Anti-Aging Conference. And there's 1,001 other questions that I would certainly like to put to Phil, and other amazing products and stories that he will tell you.
Thank you, Brian. May I add that if any of your listeners want me to elaborate on anything they've heard today, that they should get in contact with you, and I'd be very happy to do that.
Or can you give your details again of where they can find your products?
Yes, certainly. The company is called International Anti-Aging Systems, which if you put it into Google, you should find us certainly on the first page. But if you want to go to antiaging-systems.com, you go directly to our main website. It's not our only website, but you'll find lots of things there. We have a more British orientated, because everything there is in dollars, by the way, which is our dominating market. But we have a more British orientated website at antiaging-nutrition.com.
Oh, well, thank you, Phil. I mean, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you. I could listen to you for weeks. And as you know, when we get in a conversation, we can literally talk ourselves till we drop. But
Brian, always a pleasure. And as I think I said to you earlier, it's nice that we've been able to talk. And because normally when I'm under your purview and you're looking in my mouth, you're normally asking me where I'm going on my holidays for this year. And I can't say.
Well, I do try to find I can get as many instruments as possible to stuff into your mouth before I ask you the question, of course.
What a good dentist you are.
thank you kindly.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone.